Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
So much, Rosemary, and thank you to the musos and the production team here. Such a privilege to bring this to you. We're so blessed, you know, to be able to do this. We're so thankful for, you know, the projects and the life build and everything that's come to build this facility so we can do this. We're ready. So let me just pray before we launch into this message. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the chance to gather and hear your word live, even right now. Holy Spirit, come and move through every device, every TV screen, every iPhone, every other phone, every everything. Lord, that there'd be a sense of your truth coming through that would touch our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, come with me to Matthew 21. This is one of the passages of this week. And of course, there's been so many great passages. Wow, it's so hard to choose. And every week I go, Lord, what's the passage that you've got for our church? What's the one that you want to speak to the people of our church and beyond? And this was the one, this when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. So let's go right in there at Matthew 21, verse 1. It says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem, and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives. So the context here is Jesus and his disciples are entering Jerusalem pretty much for the final time. All of Jesus' ministry, all of his years up in the north, all around in Samaria, have come to this point. Now, he's been to Jerusalem lots, but this is the final entry. It's a significant moment. And it's like it comes over the hill, over to this place called Bethpage, which is about a kilometer from the heart of Jerusalem. And he looks down over Jerusalem. Mark's account actually talks about him weeping over the city. Sorry, Luke's account, Luke 19. He's weeping over the city. He sees the city that he loves. He's entering it into for the final time with his friends. And it's this moment of destiny. It's a time when everything that he's been working up towards is coming to this final week. And you can imagine how he'd be feeling. We forget sometimes that Jesus was fully man, fully with his human faculties, human emotions, human mindset. And so Jesus is drawing near. And what does he see as he looks over his beloved city of Jerusalem? He sees pain. He sees suffering. He sees faith leaders who weren't faithful to God, who'd sort of taken their own course. He sees sickness and poverty and injustice. He sees an uncertain future. He knows that in 40 years' time, this city will be destroyed by the Romans. He sees desperation. He sees his final weeks on a cross. He knows his destiny. He knows that his own life is drawing to a painful end. Can you imagine how you'd feel drawing near to Jerusalem? It's not unlike so many people in our world right now, gazing over the things that they love, gazing into the future, feeling a little uncertain. And as I prayed into that, I got a sense of people's grief right now. Grief comes from loss and uncertainty, loss from the past, uncertainty about the future. So many people feel a sense of loss right now, of things that are different, of what it used to be, whether you face death of someone or unemployment or some other kind of just lack of freedom, physical freedom. And then we think into the future. It seems uncertain. Can I plan this week? Can I plan a holiday? Can I plan anything? What does it look like? And it brings a certain grief, insecurity that comes from those things. So how did Jesus move forward? Because I think these questions we've been asking all year, how did Jesus do life? And how then can we copy him and follow his example? I see here a tremendously significant message for us right now in this season. As we enter into a new season, a different season, one that looks a little shaky. Let's have a look at how Jesus managed authority in uncertainty. Let's read on. So Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go. You see, Jesus is a God of action. He's not just going to sit there, action. The plans are in place. So he says to two disciples, go. Let's start. Let's get in. Let's get on with it. Let's take authority. Go into the village in front of you, into Bethpage. Immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her, a young donkey. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you anything to you, like why are you stealing this donkey? Say, the Lord needs it. And we'll send them at once. Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Now this is in Zechariah 9:9. This is incredible. What Zechariah 9:9 prophesies hundreds of years beforehand is what Jesus is enacting now. He says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Phenomenal. So Jesus fulfills this word from the past. And they brought the disciples, went, verse 6. See, I love he said the disciples went. Jesus says, go, and they went. There's a message for us. Do it. They went as Jesus directed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, put on their cloaks and sat on them. And most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. You see, they'd prepared the way. Hosanna, it means actually save. It means come and save. Come and save. Declaring the king. And they're kind of creating a royal procession into the start of Jerusalem. Just to the people who were there. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole crowd, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. It's a great entry. You see, there's great authority. Even though Jesus is facing incredible uncertainty, the plan is moving forward. He doesn't go back from that. Not only does he enter the city, but he enters the temple, the heart, the core of the city. And he entered the temple, verse 12, and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. You see, this is Passover week. People from all over, not just Israel, but the people who scattered, they'd come back. And the Lord would require them to bring animals to sacrifice in this Passover week. So difficult to bring sometimes animals, so they just bring money and swap them. So that's why there's all these traders going on in the four courts of the temple. But Jesus looks at it, he goes, that's not right. There's something wrong about this. And he overturns the tables and he chases them out, the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house should be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of robbers. You see, they were kind of exchanging things and bumping it up a little. You know, not being quite straight. They're making money off the side of these people who are trading for a legitimate purpose. He says, out. Get out. The blind and, look at this, verse 14. While he's driving out them, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. I love this passage. It's in all four Gospels. He enters into Jerusalem, final week. And as I reflect on that, I think, what does it say about Jesus? I see authority in uncertainty. Oh, that's a great message for our time. And I see four practical ways that we can have authority in uncertain times right now, today, this week. Let's go through them. First thing I see is that Jesus pursued his call. Pursue your call. Keep going anyway, regardless of what else is going on in our world. Pursue your call. See, Jesus pursued his call. This took place to fulfill.
verse 4, all that was spoken by the prophet. He kept moving towards his calling. He had this gravity, this sense of calling, who he was and what he was called to do in his DNA, and it kept propelling him forward. And it's no different to us. It's like, take another step. When the world closes in, keep moving towards your call. What's my call? Usually it's right in front of you. If you've got family around you or people that you live with, well, people just love the people in your world. Sometimes it's a call above that, beyond that, to do things for God, you know, to reach people, to bless people, to pray for people, to build churches, to sing, worship, to start businesses. Whatever it is that you feel like God has called you to do, why stop? Because the world is a little shaky right now. Pursue your call. Carry that authority. Get creative. Don't shy away because the wind is contrary. Find another way. If something closes over here, try over here. Keep pursuing your call. Jesus knows he's facing opposition. He pursued it anyway. Get creative. Do it on Zoom. The world lives on Zoom right now. There's so many creative ways of doing things online. Don't let circumstances stop you from fulfilling your call. Innovate. Break it up. Reframe it. I love this. I mean, church is different right now, right? But we're still church. We're still gathered. And I tell you, in the next few weeks and months, we'll be looking at ways that we can do this better, so we can connect better, so we can continue to fulfill our call to bring life to people in Bathurst and beyond. Not just to, let's just close church because the wind is contrary. No, let's find other ways to do church. I love the spirit of this church. It's gutsy. Let's innovate. Let's change. What is it for you in your workplace, in your family? The other night, our family, my wider family, my brothers and cousins, and we all got on Zoom and had a games night and a party. We all had cake and a party because we couldn't see each other. And it'll be months before we can see people. So let's do an all-night games night on Zoom. Let's try different things to fulfill the call of God on our life, because this creates authority in uncertainty. Pursue the call of God on your life. Second thing I see Jesus do is to embrace humility. Embrace peace. It says, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey. Have you thought about that? Here's the king. Here's the creator, the master of the universe, coming on a donkey. So imagine a film star coming into Bathurst driving a Lamborghini or a Corolla. I mean, imagine, what are you driving? You should be driving a donkey? Like, shouldn't you be on a white stallion commanding the angels? Donkey? What is the deal with the donkey? Well, in the ancient world, leaders would ride on a donkey when they brought peace. It was a common thing. But if they were rode to war, they'd ride a stallion. All right? So Jesus is clearly not coming to start a war. He's coming for peace. You see, we've got to bring peace. It actually reminds me of one of our Gallipoli legends, Simpson and his donkey. Do you know what this guy did? From 25th of April, Gallipoli landing, till the 90th of May, he went out on his donkey into the battle line and dragged up those who were sick or wounded and carried them back to the medics. He did this until he was shot down by fire on his donkey, killed in the midst of action, bringing peace, bringing healing, bringing rescue. What a great analogy. Our own hero, Simpson, on his donkey. How about you? What are you doing to bring peace in the world right now? It's so easy to try and war, but in the middle of so much, there's so much contention, so many arguments, so much division. What are you doing to bring peace in the middle of it? Just think Simpson on his donkey. Think Jesus on his donkey riding in to bring peace, riding in to conflict in order to bring peace in the middle of the gunfire. Be Simpson. Be Jesus. Because peace is the ultimate authority in uncertainty. It's peace that'll change situations. So be a peace bringer in this season. Pursue your call. Bring peace. Number three. I just got to wait for my computer to catch up. Remove the obstacles for prayer. Now this is amazing. So why does Jesus come in? Why does Jesus whip these people and tell them to go away? Why does Jesus do that? Well, see, here's the deal. In the forecourts of the temple was where the other nations could come and worship God, the Gentile nations. There was a space reserved for them around the courts of the temple. And so what happened was that Jesus saw that and thought, this is the space for them. He says, my house should be called a house of prayer for all nations, it adds in some of the other passages. And what these people were doing, they were blocking all the other people from coming to pray. So Jesus is signifying the value of prayer in the middle of difficulty. Now you and I, see, prayer is action. See, when we feel defeated, when we feel like can't do anything, we can do something. We can always pray. When I look at the news at the moment, I see COVID and I see Kabul. Both could really overwhelm me. I can think, what can I do? I can pray. I can take up a fight. I can pray. I can enter in and I can do something. It's the most disempowering thing in the world to think I can't do anything about this situation. We can. We can pray. Prayer is effective. We can pray. It's why people do all kinds of crazy things, because they're disempowered. So what can I do? But we can take our protest to heaven. Lord, pray for those people in Kabul and Afghanistan. Pray, let's intercede for them. Actually, today is a prayer meeting, a 12-hour prayer meeting right across Australia. Pastor Phil's joining at 4 o'clock. Just Google Australia Prays. You'll find the link. Jump in and pray. Zoom prayer meeting right across the country. Let's pray. Let's do something. Don't be disempowered to pray. And again, let's get creative. Remove the barriers to prayer. Like praying on Zoom is awesome. Find a prayer partner. There's never been an easier way to pray together. You don't even have to leave home. You can just jump onto a Zoom meeting and join with people and pray. Find a prayer partner. Get online next Sunday night. It's awesome. We really have no excuses not to pray. What's better? I mean, Netflix? I mean, what's more important right now than just to find those moments to pray? Just encourage you to rise up and pray and find your voice in prayer, because it makes a difference. That's why Jesus was passionate about driving out people. Says, no, this is a house of prayer. You can do something, because prayer releases authority in uncertainty. It releases that sense of victory and calm. And the last one, I love this. You know, Jesus, right at the end, all the people who needed healing just came to him. He blessed people while he was fighting, while he was doing his thing, while he was entering into the city, into the temple. He was a blessing to people. He reached out to people. The blind and the lame came to him. No matter what you're fighting, no matter what you're facing, you can always find space to bless people around you. Always find energy, oxygen, to be a blessing to others, because that brings real authority. It means that there's way more going on here. You don't have to be too serious about life. You can continue to bring joy and life and healing to the people around you. Be a blessing in uncertain times. Continue to reach out to the people around you. Ring the people who are a bit lonely. Invite them into something. Get creative about an online games night. Or just get creative. Be a blessing to people, even in the middle of difficult circumstances. Just as we finish up, I've been thinking about Hebrews 10:39. It says that we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who have faith and persevere. We don't shrink back. The church rises forward. So let me just remind you, now is the time for godly authority. Now is the time to rise. Let's bring authority into an uncertain world. Pursue your call. Get creative. Be a peace bringer. Jump on a donkey, not a war horse. Remove all the obstacles to prayer and get on board with some prayer things. And be a blessing. That's what I see in Jesus in an uncertain time. And I'm going to invite Rosemary to come and just to finish off and pray for us. Just stick around just for a few more moments, because this is a significant moment. Here's some information from the Word of God, but here's some transformation as we just take a few moments to pray into those things wherever you are. Thank you, Rosemary.
Well, thank you, Jeff. What a great encouragement. If you don't know Jesus and you feel these things aren't for me, but I want them, now is the time. Don't pass this by. Now is the time to ask him to come into your life. If you're wanting to do that, just pray with me so you will accept him. You will see the difference he makes to you, to your life, to your attitude, to what you're able to do as well. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that you want me in your family. I thank you that you've given me Jesus. And I just ask you to come into my life. Please forgive the things that I have done. Father, I confess that I've not lived in your way. I want Jesus to come and clean my life, to help me have my heart prepared for your Holy Spirit to live there, to guide me, to love me, to show me your way. Thank you, God, that you've made this possible. Amen. You know, it's been a challenge today too, to those of us who do know God and have maybe walked closer in the past to him. Maybe you've shown these qualities before. You know, you've had authority in uncertain times. Perhaps you've been able to bring peace to situations, but you've lost your peace. You know, it's not that you've lost it, just that you've not used it. Jesus is right there, and he is encouraging you to step up and be that person that he's made you to be. He's given you the authority. He's given you the way ahead, the way to be his hands and his heart in your life, to those around you who you're touching. So don't feel like you've missed the boat. Your relationship with God is not what it should be. Now is the time just to turn back to him. Confess that, and he's got a plan for you. So that's an exciting thing, to see what God has planned for you in the future and how that's going to affect those around you. Just pray that you will take that into this coming week. If you want to be reassured of these things again, just go on your computer, listen to the sermon again, be encouraged by it. Just thanks for joining us today. We just pray that as this week unfolds, that God's grace and mercy will be shown to you. He is there waiting to show that to you. Open your heart for him. Just look forward to you being with us again next Sunday. Enjoy your week. Be blessed.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.